properly noticed.
We have, and we have a quorum.
See, we have a quorum, so we'll start with the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. So our next item would be oath of office. We have a number of people that are re-entering office and some people that are new for the first time.
Morning. Okay, so I'm going to ask members Jones, Collins, Osmond, and Anderson to please stand up. And kindly raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Michael Jones.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support.
That I will support.
Protect and defend.
Protect and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
Of the government of the state of Nevada.
The government of the state of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Allegiance and loyalty to the same.
Any ordinance.
Any ordinance.
Resolution or any law.
Resolution or any law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well.
And that I will well.
And faithfully perform.
And faithfully perform.
All the duties.
All the duties.
Of the office of a member.
Of the office of a member.
Of the Southern Nevada District.
Of the Southern Nevada District.
Board of Health.
Board of Health.
Public Health Advisory Board.
Public Health Advisory Board.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Mr. Jones, if I could just state a couple of reasons. The other three of you may wonder why you're not doing an oath of office. This is Mr. Anderson's first meeting with us, and the three appointed members were just reappointed by the Board of Health, and I believe your reappointments, should you choose to come back to us, will be next year along with the electeds from the regular Board of Health. So that's why you weren't sworn in again.
Okay, then we'll go to item number four, which is public comment. Period devoted to comments by the general public about those items occurring on the agenda. We have not adopted the agenda.
Public comment.
Take a motion to.
I so move. Second.
All in favor of adopting the agenda?
Aye.
Any opposed? None are opposed. Thanks. So now we'll go to public comment. Any members wishing to make any statement? All right, seeing none, we'll go to item number five we just took care of. Item number six will be consent agenda. And that would be to approve the minutes of the last advisory board meeting on June 13.
I so move.
We have a second for about 10 minutes. And so with that, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None are opposed. All right, we can go on to item number seven, report discussion action. And that first item is to review, discuss community health improvement plan and the strategic plan. So I'll turn that over to staff.
Last month, you had the community health assessment that Adele Solomon spoke to you about, and she just presented the CHIP and the strategic plan, community health improvement plan, and the strategic plan to the Board of Health last meeting, and so she's here to present it to you now.
Can I update it?
Yeah. Oh, yes, you can.
I know. See, I'm learning. I even know to ask for these things now.
If you want that.
Perfect. Good morning, Adele Solomon. This is the Community Health Improvement Plan. I know you've heard about it a bunch of times, and I'm sure you're very familiar with the three priority areas: access to care, chronic disease, and policy and funding. So what I want to go over is just a quick, I know you know all this, but the access to health care is to increase the services to all the citizens here. This is The data on this, I'll tell you, the data on this area is coming in fast and furious. It's not a week goes by, but somebody's sending me some major data set, which I then forward to the people that are what I consider the gurus who go, Adele, you need to ask for this now. And so what, in addition to this, what's been happening is UNR with John Gershom and Tabor Griswold is the guru over there who's working with us. They're working with Lei Zhang and Chris, somebody in informatics, and they're really coming up with some great data sets, and we're going to be able to show you where the health disparities are. For our first data set that we have that we like is dentists. We haven't gone through it. We haven't done anything with it yet that we can present, but it'll start showing where we're missing dentists and in what population, what demographics, what income areas. So they're working on a lot of that now. We also are getting the data in from the insurance, and we're trying to figure out what is valid data and what is not. So as that comes, it'll be rolling out, and I'll go over that. The 911 call system, that's having some side meetings, and they're looking at seriously what they can do to help that situation. The workforce, as I said, is coming in a lot of data. RTC is kicking it. They have a bunch of things they have out there for alternative resources to get people to the doctor, and they have some programs they're working on, and we're working with them to overlay practitioners with bus routes. So that it may not be in your zip code. If it's on a major route, that would be great. And that's something that the public needs to know, and it's something that the developers need to know. So where do we put it? Where's the good bus route to put it on? And the insurance, like I said, we're looking at what data is and isn't working for us. Chronic disease, same thing. They've been on a roll, but this is the same one they're doing. As you know, their smoking rate has decreased exponentially. It's probably one of the best in the nation for their program that's been going out with that. The obesity rate, they have a lot of things that are coming up with that. They did an interesting map on the tobacco that had to do with, is the quit line working? So they took the basic demographic map, which is zip codes, incomes, and ethnicities, I think they added to that. Then they took smoking prevalence and put that over it, and then they put use of quit line. And it showed a clear correlation with low income and using the quit line. And so it shows that the quit line is working. So we just need to promote that more. And policy and funding. Right now, they're working on more on the direction. They have some ideas in there that are really like doing conferences and such as that. But the direction now is more to the elevator talk, the quick speech, just putting the data out there so you can quickly get the people to know what is public health, what is funding, you know, what types of funding there are, and where it's going. So that's taking a little bit of a background look right now. So this is the website you're going to have. And see, even though I'm giving you all this information, it's a lot, and you want to know, well, how do, that sounds great, but how do I tell anybody this? This website is going to, if you go on the Healthy Southern Nevada website, it does not look like this. This website will be rolled out when we do the CHIP rollout August 10th, 10 to 12 p.m. Clark County Chambers, please be there. It's really important. You'll be getting an invite.
A.M.?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
You said p.m.
Well, 12 p.m. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
Got it.
So anyway, this site will not be live until just before that event. So you probably can't even get into it till the day after would be my guess. We'll be showing you that. But in there, it will have like the map for the quit line. It'll have a lot of these maps and demographics that you really are going to want. And you'll be able to track the progress on everything. So if they say they want 450 girls to join the walk around the whatever, you'll be able to see, well, they only had 100 girls join it so far. They've had 500 girls join it so far. So you'll be able to track the progress on each of those. So you can go into your own neighborhoods or your own demographics and say, we need more of this. This is doing really well. Thank you. So in the email, we're sending an email for the, this is the draft of the invite, what it will look like when you get it. We're also having cards made up. So key stakeholders are going to be in there, you know, the American Heart Health Insight, those people, policymakers, you all, private industry, Boyd Gaming, such as that, all the hospitals, the insurance companies, they're very involved in this, and the media. So the first half hour will be for meet and greet, networking, interviews, photos, so we can get things going in that venue. This is actually the first time the community has ever done anything like this, where the community as a whole has come together to create this improvement plan. That is, over 200 people have created this. So now we're rolling it out and we want to continue. The goal is to keep the engagement up and running. And I'm really counting on you all for that. The transparency is new. Never before have you had a program where without calling somebody, you can just go in anytime, 2 a.m. in the morning. You can go in there and go, oh, I can see what's happening here. I can see where we need help here. I can see what's doing. And you can print some of that data, and you can take that data to wherever you're going and say, look, this is what we need, or this is really going well. Here's something for you as you go for office again. You can use this to say how we're helping this. So, and successes will be promoted. So if that, the girls' athletic thing is really succeeding, and instead of 450, they're up to 700, we will promote that on the site and say, look at this win. So this is a site for the public, for our community to engage in. And this is the agenda for the rollout event. We'll have the networking. Dr. Iser will do a welcome. United Way and Dignity Health have 100% adopted the chip, and it is on their website as their chip. UMC has also said they will support us in every way possible, although because they're not required to do a chip, they will not adopt it. Priority groups will each have 10 minutes to explain what they're doing and their wins. Then we'll show the website, and then we're going to ask everybody there to join a group or to get involved in some way. They can even just get involved in the big chip group, which means they'll get quarterly updates as to what's going on. And in another year, when we start planning for the next assessment, they'll be part of that process as to what we're going to assess. The strategic plan, that's the internal strategic plan, how we're supporting all this and how we're becoming a sustainable and functioning health department. We had the five areas: the strengthened financial sustainability, increased staff capacity, implement branding and marketing, and then improving IT, and that's not only getting the advanced things that we need to do the work we're doing, such as that website, but also educating people how to utilize these things and to support the CHIP. So for strengthening the financial sustainability, they have the informed local and state public policymakers implement the things to increase revenue, increasing the grants, and recommending different ethnically viable options. Increase the workforce capacity in services, training, creative opportunities to support them to go out and get the training that is not local and it costs money that we can provide for them. Recognizing the staff, we have a work group that's working on a way to just quick recognition, you know, without that big employee of the month, because as you know, if you've ever worked a place with that, it never really works that well. So it's quick recognition, and to bring in students and such to mentor here. The marketing and branding plan, that survey, I believe, will be going out about that, and we'll be starting to work on the marketing and branding plan. And IT, they have several things which I would hesitate to explain to you because I know I'll mess them up, but they have several things that are going to track our finances better. It's going to put transparency in public health funding, and of course the website you saw, which you will, I am so impressed with that. When you guys see that, you're gonna love it. And then to continue to support the CHIP, as you can see, that's happening all the time. And those are the different ways to help with that. Anybody have any questions? Did I answer everything? Do you have anything for me?
Who are the partners that you're expecting to speak at the...
The partners that will be speaking will be Dignity Health, United Way, and UMC.
I assume the medical school has some sort of connection?
The medical school is heavily involved with the Access to Healthcare group, as a lot of it has to do with providers. So where are the students coming in, and where are the people that are graduating going to, and where do we have provider deserts? So they are on one of the groups, Laura Cully from UNLV, and UNR with John Packham is very involved in doing a lot of the data analysis for that and the workforce development.
This is another dimension of this, but I'm just curious, have you guys seen the British Medical Journal's report on preventable deaths in the United States last month? It's now the third leading cause of death in the United States. To a quarter of a million people are dying every year because of preventable deaths relating to healthcare delivery system issues. It's not germane to our preventive healthcare. It's like 5 years down the road for this. But I'm just curious. I'd be happy to share with you that article.
Do please send it.
It's very germane nationwide to the delivery system, to what UNLV is trying to do and everything else.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Then?
If I may, I'd ask you all to come to that rollout and then to plan, especially for those of you in geographic locations, to plan some community meetings. Work with Adele, work with us. We're happy to come. I'm happy to come. Evenings?
Anything. I absolutely feel that this is something where the community needs to know what's going on and the stakeholders need to know what's going on. So I think it's for, like I put on that list, I think it's for everyone. But yes, if there is a group, I've been speaking at some of them, I would like to do more. I would be happy to do the Las Vegas Chambers or Clark County Chamber, whatever there is out there, or just small local grassroots senior centers and such as that, because they need to know also.
And for the three of you, for your constituencies as well. So just talk to Adele or talk to me, and we'll arrange to come out and do a presentation for you to show the website to to your constituents, however you define those, and be happy to get engagement. And I think it's not too early, since it's 2016, to think about what we're going to do for the CHA for the next time. So it's going to be a continuous, ongoing, rolling process as we go forward. So please do engage with us. Come to that meeting, see what you want us to do for you, and we're happy to do it.
And I think also the private industry has a big stake in this. I know there's a lot of issues where they want to donate money or want to support something. This, they can find a program within this system to support, and they can track their progress on it. So it allows them very clear, because people do have to, if they're going to be on the site, they do have to give us a quarterly report. So you will be able to see, oh, they met their goals, they met their measures, and we work with them to make sure they're giving us clear measures. They're not just, we went to a bunch of fairs. They have to give clear that they're making a difference. So that might help you too. And also, I know a lot of industry, they want to know what the community around, because your employees come from that neighborhood. So you want that neighborhood to be a good, healthy neighborhood. Thank you very much.
Any other questions, comments from members? Thanks very much. All right, next would be to receive report on any recommendations from the Board of Health on the June 28th meeting.
There are no recommendations, I think I could say, especially because I talk to Bob more often than anyone, Bob Beers, who is the chairman of the Board of Health, that they are pleased with the progress. We're pleased that we're getting quorums. We're pleased, everyone is pleased that you're meeting now. And my recollection is it's now 3 months until your next meeting. But again, please get involved. Don't disengage from us during that period of time. But there are no clear-cut recommendations for you.
Okay. And item number three would be discuss and approve recommendations to the Southern Nevada Health District Board. And I guess we open that for any discussion of any recommendations going forward. I think we're focused on our support of the Community Health Improvement Plan and the goals that are associated. Asking again each of us to try to participate in one of the goal areas, whether that's access to care, chronic disease, policy, and funding. Choose one of those that you think you can make some impact and be a participant in those processes. Any other discussion, comment? All right, so we'll move on to the health officer and staff reports.
So as we've been going through, I've been thinking of more and more things to tell you, and the one that occurred to me while Adele was doing her presentation is that indeed we are quite involved now with other academic institutions in terms of bringing students in. We just signed an agreement with Touro that we will house 5 students each month for the next year. That's part of a larger engagement with them, but we have agreed to do that. That could be medical students, APRN students once they start accepting those, PA students, perhaps others, but I think those 3 professional groups of students we'll be seeing. We do have an agreement with Roseman, and they didn't get accredited on their first attempt, but that we would be taking in their medical students as well. And when UNLV is up and running, we're in discussions with them to do the same. In addition, we're engaged with nursing students throughout the district with whatever program that they're enrolled in, and we're bringing in other students as well. You may know, I think the 3 of you know from history, is that we do have a pharmacist, a PharmD, who's assigned to us from Roseman, And so she brings, she's been on leave for a couple of months, but she brings in students, pharmacy students from Rosemond. And so we're just going to be engaging and re-engaging with the academic community, going all the way down to high schools and trying to get high school students involvement to interest them in healthcare careers. We have been engaged and are in the process of looking at the first antibiogram here in Southern Nevada since I think the aughts, aught nine or something like that. And an antibiogram looks at the resistance patterns of certain specific bacteria in each of the hospitals. And each of the hospitals currently do that so that they can inform their providers as to which bacteria are becoming resistant to which antibiotics. But what we're going to be doing is engaging with all of the hospitals, as many as will perform and play with us, to perform a community-wide antibiogram. The plan is then to have one for pediatrics, one for inpatient, one for outpatient, one for adults, and perhaps even looking more regionally or systematically. So we might look at the Valley Health Systems. We're in the process of doing this. We're still several months away from it. And I am presenting this week to the Nevada Hospital Association about the purposes of this to try to get more of their involvement and interest in that. We had I did a presentation on Zika last month, and rather than go through that again, I'll just update you that I think as of this week, we had the meeting with all of the jurisdictions. I've had a meeting now with all but two of the individual jurisdictions, talking to either like Betsy Fretwell or Sabra, but I still have two left to go, which I think are this week. And then I'll be gone at a NACHO meeting next week, and our next jurisdiction-wide meeting to go over our plan will be in 2 weeks, as I recall. And then we will implement that. It's still in a draft plan, but it's how are we surveilling? How do we plan to mitigate should we find, especially Aedes aegypti mosquitoes here? But if you have any questions, I think I gave you a little bit longer of a presentation last month. Do you have any questions on that or anything else so far? You may know that our recommendation to the Board of Health was to not expand the trauma system to include any of the three applicants who had applied for level 3 trauma center designation. The end result of that board action was to support that determination, but then to have us come back this month, and we're still working on this part of their ask, with some sort of a recommendation as to what do we do next in terms of do we do another assessment, how do we go forward from here. So we're engaging with the Regional Trauma Advisory Board to get their recommendations, which we will be presenting to the Board of Health next month. But in addition to that, one of the important things that we recognize, and the last time the system was assessed was maybe in 2011, excuse me. And one of the recommendations at that point was we need to have a running and capable trauma registry, which we still don't have. The legislature has asked of the state to have that for the last 10 years. It still isn't functional. And so we're negotiating with the state, and we have a meeting with the state this week again about a variety of databases that we can help them with. But the trauma registry is at the top of that list for us. And that's because it's harder to assess our trauma system, our EMS and trauma system, without having a functional trauma registry. What the state has had is access to the non-trauma hospital trauma data, but not to the three trauma centers' trauma data. And the last attempt that I heard was about 2 weeks ago for UMC to upload its data to the trauma registry, and by accident identified data, patients' names went along with it. So they asked the state to delete that, and they're still in the process of trying to upload another one of those. Without the ability to upload that and for us to analyze it, it is harder for us to make clear-cut recommendations. What our program did here, was to use all of the tools that we have, including sort of a draft tool from the American College of Surgeons, which is the real designator of trauma centers, to look at how many trauma centers do we need But it is a very rough tool, not very granular, doesn't get down to much detail, but that tool says that we have enough trauma centers. We need something that'll give us a little bit more granular data, the kind of data that we can make action on rather than just a gross overview that this data program that the American College of Surgeons has drafted for us. I did mention already then that...
How often does American College of Surgeons do the evaluations?
I think it's every 3 years, isn't it? Do you remember? Because I know...
The facilities, it depends on their redesignation, so it could be 2 to 3 years at the hospitals.
But the hospital, the St. Rose Hospital, is coming up for renewal this month. I think it's on the agenda.
Doesn't College of Surgeons do a overall evaluation of our community
system? No.
The system?
No. The last time they did that was in 2011. According to John, it cost $75,000 and takes months to prepare. His conversation with them this time is that they probably couldn't get it or get it done for 17 or 18 months and may cost up to $100,000. So that's part of the information we'll bring back to the Board of Health. But no, they don't do any system-wide without being a paid consultant to do that. And I can tell you that the RTAB did say that no other consultant should be hired to do this, because the American College of Surgeons is seen as being independent and objective. And again, they see us and our program as being independent and objective too. The RTAB does. Whether the community does or not, I don't know, since some of the hospitals, some of the information in the newspapers implied that the RTAB was biased, which I don't believe it is. The RTAB includes, for example, Sunrise, which is the level 2 trauma center that represents really HCA, and the non-trauma center member of the RTAB is Saj, who is the CEO and the applicant from Centennial Hills. And so it's hard to say that it's a biased organization when it includes the organizations that were not recommended to go forward. But I'm sure you've seen that in the newspapers. That may be all that I have. If you have any questions, please ask. Then I think Andy has a very brief TB clinic update from his last one.
Andy Glass, Director of Administration. There had been interest expressed in the TB air handling system in that when we constructed the building, the air handling system was not built according to the standards that the health district gave to the engineers and architects that are actually the CDC recommendations. Since that was discovered, we have engaged the architect and construction crew to make modifications to the air handling system to bring it up to our specifications, and that has been completed as of late last month.
And I think, is this just an announcement about the nurse family partnership? We have a nurse family partnership site visit next week. Nurse family partnership is our evidence-based home visitation program where women are in their first pregnancy are referred to us, and then they and their children can stay in the program up until the child is 2 years old. I think when you were on the other board that I mentioned to you that I went to the graduation last year, and I actually cried as with the women and the children. You know, the children were crying, the women were crying, they were so happy, and I was crying, staff was crying, we were all crying because it was such a happy event. And we're very proud of that program. We are working with one of the Medicaid managed care groups to try to expand it to include women that they can refer in to us. And we're trying to work with the Division of Family Services to see if there's some other way that we can expand it. We are seeing the kinds of outcomes that the original inventor of the program and the evaluator of the program found, and we're seeing decreases in violence in the home and decreases in a variety of other adverse outcomes in first-time mothers. And we're having that home visitation next week. Rochelle, did you have anything else to add?
Not on that one.
I have a question.
Sure.
I received an invitation, but it says it's for August.
I've got down here that it's next week. Do we know?
I didn't put that one on the agenda. I'm aware of the August one.
It must be in August then.
There are two events coming up.
I've got it dated. We hope you can attend August 15th through 19th.
If you got the invitation, I would trust that invitation and not my note on my agenda.
The meeting next week is with staff to discuss it.
The meeting next week is for us, for leadership to talk to staff about it. Thank you, Jackie.
Are there still two initiatives within the health district for child maternal health? I know we had a budgeting issue a while ago. Are those two getting combined, or what's the status?
We actually have three. I think the most expensive one is probably nurse-family partnership. And again, because it's evidence-based, a nurse who is has significant training that we send her to, I think all of them are women right now, they can only see up to 25 mother-child dyads per period of time. So as one mother and child age out, then another mother and child can be added to it. The second one is Healthy Start, which is a little bit more flexible. And then we did keep a few funds in for other women and children who need special follow-up. For example, if a child has been exposed to lead, and that isn't age specific necessarily, but so that if a child is exposed to lead, we find out about it. There are a variety of things that we do in that case. Environmental health can go out to the home and evaluate the home or the job site, depending on where the lead may have come from. And then our nursing staff would follow up to assure that a child is put into treatment and that the lead levels come back down. And there are some other special situations where that non-evidence-based nursing program can interact with a mother or child.
Comments or questions?
I'll do them afterwards since it's my specialty.
Okay, then we'll move on to item number 9, which is the second opportunity for public comment. This can be comment on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. Seeing none, we'll take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
None are opposed, and we are adjourned. So our next meeting is October what day?
10.
October 10th.
Monday.
8:30?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll send out notices beforehand, get you agendas and supplemental information. And please, if there are other things that you would like to hear, please let me know, or Jackie or Michelle know, and we'll be happy to do presentations for you on that.
Can we get a copy of the CHIP email to us?
It's on the website.
It's on the website.
Yeah, but you can, I mean, it can be emailed, but
I'll download
website.
It.
It's just you go under Hot Topics and look for the PDF. There's two, one's the CHOM, one's the CHIP.
Adele, perhaps you could send them the link, copy
Absolutely.
The link, and then email it.
Okay.
Okay. Then that way all you do is click on it and you'll get those documents.
And I'll follow up with you on some sort of community engagement on Boulder City.
Yeah, we'd be happy to do that. Even though you're basically in another state, we still love you.
We'll have you to one of our city council meetings or something.
We'd love to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we like your mayor.
Yeah, we do too.
And October 10th is Columbus Day. That doesn't require any specific prep on our part. It's not a state holiday.
It's not.
All right. Federal holiday. All right, thank you.
Thank you all.
Dr. Osgood. We can get him because he's quiet.
I'm sorry.
Dr. Osgood?
I know there's escape on here.
Yeah, escape far left, up. Yeah, and then you can just close it.
Should have done that.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, that's lesson two.
I don't have, well, I guess my shoes match my pants.
We can maybe buy one.
They do, they match my pants.
Doesn't work out.
They're black.
Those kinds of shoes.
Exactly.
Hi, how are you? Nice to see you. We'll see you back.
How are you?
October. We'll have to refresh everybody's memory.
I know.
I just came
scooching over on the table.